handle the truth.
The proposition, well, you know, if your name is in caps,
today's version of the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we are on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is February the 16th, 2008. It's a wet, dreary day here in Louisiana, and I don't know where it is like you are, but this is wintertime. What better time to sit inside, boot up that computer, and listen in on some truth. Today's going to be I'm going to promise it to be a very informative program because I'm not going to do it alone. I'm going to have the help of a very special guest that we're going to bring in here in just a minute. And I'm going to warn you that although I believe in accentuating the positive, there are times that we have to eliminate the negative. And that means we have to turn our attention to less positive subjects, less positive ideas and notions in order to do that. It's a lovely baby, but when the dog is gnawing the baby's toes off, it's time to do something about it, lovely baby or not. And we've got to do just that. And we're going to be discussing some of these things. So we'll be talking about, we'll be messing with Mr. In-Between maybe a little today. But it's important stuff. It's important because it's happening and it's impacting our tax community, tax honesty community, every day. It's damaging people, it's hurting people, and it's hurting the community, it's hurting the movement, and it's helping no one but the government. And so when we get back after the break here in a few minutes, we'll be talking about those problems among the community where we are, in effect, causing ourselves harm and how we can stop doing that, how we can start getting on the same page on solid ground truth where we can understand that the mission that we have is not a singular mission, but it's all of our mission. We have to win for everybody or we win for nobody. There is no silver bullet. There is no garlic garland. But there is a way to win. There is a sword that will, and eventually, you know, it can and it will, if we get behind it, set all of us free. So, it'll be a very, very special program today. I can promise you that it's not going to be boring. We'll be taking calls at 1-800-313-9443, and so that you'll know in preparing to place your call, the subject today is going to be the Tinfoil Hat Brigade and the negative impact that it's having on us and why we have to finally stop just laughing at the parade or being amused by the parade, but we have to start trying to eliminate these misconceptions that this parade of mishap arguments and vacant theories and, I mean, absolutely some cases bizarre notions that are being fed to contaminate the minds and to incarcerate tax honesty community members and patriots across the country. Not one person who has ever advocated one of these bizarre, inane arguments has ever walked out of the courthouse. And we're going to find out why in just a minute. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody. This is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life? Behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that? Worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Welcome back. This is Tom Cryer, and you have entered the Live Free Zone, and I promised you a special guest, and right here, let's bring him on in. Today's guest has been on this program a number of times before, but we are a long, long way from exhausting, tapping into his knowledge on these subjects and these issues. He is, in my view, certainly, and in the view of many, many, many others in the tax honesty community, one of the best, if not the best, tax crime defense lawyer in the country. He certainly enjoys more success in gaining acquittals and blocking convictions than any other attorney in the bar that I know. And he has been fighting not only with the IRS over their lies, but has also been fighting to try to preserve the truth against those who would disseminate and sell poison, rat poison, bottled up as snake oil, to those members of the tax honesty community who are well-intended and trying and wanting to do something, just itching to be given some way to go in and fight this beast once they learn that he's been stealing from them and their families and their neighbors for years and years. So let's bring Larry B. Craft on. Are you there, Larry? How are you doing?
I'm here, Tommy. How you doing?
It's raining
down there in Shreveport.
It is pouring down rain.
Well, send it up this way. We can use it. We're in a drought.
Yeah, well, it's headed your way, I think. I don't know if it's going to make it all the way there.
Well, let's hope so.
But Larry, you know, this week, I guess, you know, I am really twisted off. I told you this before, whenever I interrupted your program this morning to invite you to, and ask you to come join me this afternoon. I am really angry. I guess the last straw that broke this camel's back was Sherry, Jackson's sentencing. She received 4 years. She doesn't have any offenses on her record. She's not a criminal. She didn't use a gun in the perpetration of her quote crime. She didn't injure anyone. She offered no violence. But her sentence was enhanced, and the government's request that the court grant or make an upward departure from the guidelines, make her punishment more severe, was granted. And that could only be attributable to the fact that after her trial, she got tied up with a bunch of these, what I call the tinfoil hat brigade. Now, have I misunderstood her situation? Does she have some kind of deep, dark secret that I'm not aware of that caused that enhancement of her sentence?
No, Tommy, I think that's about right. I wasn't there for the sentencing. But, you know, I did look at the pleadings that have been filed. I went over to Pacer. In fact, it's been just about 10 minutes ago I got off of downloading a few more items off of her docket sheet. And, you know, the government did move for an upward departure on Sherry. You know, I think she'd have been looking at really about 18 to 24 months, all things considered. But, you know, now the judge moved it up to 48 months. Which is 4 years, and the government did that, you know, just looking at the government's motion, which the court granted. You know, the government was sitting there talking about, you know, the frivolous arguments that she was asserting of late.
Yeah, and so what happened here was that somebody helped her out by talking her into abandoning a solid defense team. I mean, I know you can't say this because modesty doesn't permit, but I'll say it. There could not be a better defense team for a defendant than Larry B. Kraft and Jeff Dickstein. I mean, that's the cream. And she had good motions pending. You had a solid motion for a new trial. You know, you had appellate issues preserved. I mean, this case wasn't over by any stretch. But somebody talked her into dropping all of that, and somebody talked her into putting in this commercial affidavit bit nonsense, and talked her into an extra 24 months in prison. And that makes me angry.
Yeah, that's a fair summary of it, Tommy. You know, basically doubled. But, you know, then again, that's what happened with Dixon Cannon. You know, Dixon Cannon was one of those employers that was charged, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago
right.
in Dallas. He was one of the employers that was stopped withholding, but you know, at his trial, you know, the first time he was tried, there was a hung jury, and then they came back at him again, and this time, you know, the movement goes down there in force and creates quite a scene in the courtroom. Of course, the judge reacts to that, but you know, the long and short of it is, you know, as a result of all the interested people on the sidelines hurling stuff at the government and the judge, you know, poor old Dixon Cannon basically had his sentence doubled, and of course the Fifth Circuit affirmed that on appeal. You know, Dick's case was a horror, and of course the same type of activities happened here, and we simply got to stop it. We end friends and influence people by slapping them. Although, can I tell you a joke I just read a minute ago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the Hillary and the Pope were before an audience, and the Hillary wanted to brag to the Pope and says, "Hey, I can make I can make all these people adulate me, you know, just simply by waving the hand." And said the Pope says, "Okay," and so Hillary waved her hand, and the whole house just roared, and you know the Pope was kind of impressed with that, but then he says, "I can top that. You know, I can not only make these people roar, but I can have them hold me endeared in their hearts for the rest of their lives. And Hillary says, wow, man, I've got to see this. And so she says to the Pope, show me. And so the Pope turned around and slapped her. Yeah, so you slap Hillary. Hey, yeah. but the same thing that we've got to do in this movement is we can't go around slapping the system. You know, I know it's not fun, but I think we got to kind of stand. We've got to take the anger out of our voice, and we've got to sit there and have no anger or ill will in the courtroom, and just point out,
well,
hey, the government's wrong. And hey, the other side can get angry when you maintain that posture. Oh, how dare you? Blah 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 blah. And hey, that only helps you because you're the non-angry part of the person in the courtroom.
You're the rational party.
Yeah,
that's right. And your credibility is enhanced, and theirs is diminished. But these notions that these people are coming up with are hurting so many people. I've always been careful. Because I am one who doesn't want to offend anyone. And I've been careful to try not to step on any toes, because some of these folks that are promoting these things genuinely believe them, and many of them do not. Many of them are selling something. They're just out to sell a product, make some money. But some people do genuinely believe these things, and you don't play with somebody's beliefs. However, without naming any names, whenever these people are starting to injure other people, and it's not a question of what they do or don't do, then that's a different matter. Your right to be left alone in your beliefs is stops at my nose, and it also stops at my brother's nose. And you and I, just this last 2 weeks or so, have seen two good men, brothers. Two good men go down in flames because they have been contaminated with this snake oil, because they have been, crazed by it. One going into trial and rejecting his attorney, dismissing his legal counsel, going in and trying his case pro se, accepting the indictment for value. And then asking each witness, do you have a claim against me? And then sitting down when they say no. And then another who goes in and says, well, you've indicted my straw man. You don't have a right to enter a not guilty plea for me. Nobody does. But I have a right to enter a guilty plea for my straw man because I'm his representative. However, I'm not going to do that. I am resigning as the trustee and representative of my name in capital letters, which is who you've indicted, and so I'm out of here. Thank you very much. And he almost came within an inch of going to jail just to impress upon him that he and this capital letters guy were one and the same. This is the kind of stuff. And now he's sitting there doing nothing because he isn't sure that he can abandon these imprinted beliefs of his that he has. And I tell you, it's just it's breaking my heart. And when I saw Sherry's sentence doubled because somebody came in here and talked her into shooting herself in the foot and probably charged her a pretty penny for it, and they're real proud of themselves. I mean, you heard the one who talked, the gentleman I just referred to, into trying his own case, boasting about how he obtained a conviction against this guy. He was proud of himself. He kept you from getting him acquitted, and he thought that that was a great accomplishment. Now, there's got to be a sick element in there. Or there has to be an even more sinister element. And to me, I'm going to go on ahead and put it out. You stomp it out if I'm wrong. I'm going to start this fire. I believe these people are acting on behalf of the IRS, willfully or unwittingly. and we've got a break, and then you can come back and take that to pieces.
Sounds good.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
And welcome back. We're here with Larry Beecraft. We're talking about how are we going to save people, hopefully, from fates like those that we just described with Sherry Jackson and these two other gentlemen that I just described. Larry, at the close, just before the break, I made a comment that, you know, I felt like and do feel like these people are serving the interests of the Internal Revenue Service, whether either wittingly or unwittingly. But the only ends that they're serving are the Internal Revenue Service and the government. And the break prevented you from coming back on that, but what say you?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Hey, Glenn, Tommy, I think it's a lot of this stuff gets circulation because of, you know, a lack of knowledge. Now, let me kind of put it into context. We, you know, they're all fields of knowledge that we're all deficient in. You know, like, for example, I know nothing about cars. But one time I heard a comment, drop a mothball in your tank and you'll get greater mileage. So, you know, I tried, you know, not knowing anything about gas or automobile engines or anything else like that. You know, for a while I was, you know, oh, gee, I can increase the gas mileage by dropping a mothball in. So I tried it. And, you know, of course, the party that told me this, you know, it was very enthusiastic. Yeah, this is great. So I said, oh, okay, I believed it. Well, you know, I don't know anything about gas. But later on I found out that, it didn't increase my gas mileage. And in fact, I talked to some mechanics who said, no, what it'll really do is make your engine burn hotter, and that's not good for your engine. But, you know, we all have little problems like that. You know, there are fields that we know nothing about. And, you know, so, you know, the mere fact that you don't know something about something just means that you're lacking in knowledge, but you're not necessarily stupid. Now, you know, law is incredibly complex. And, you know, not that I have made it, not that you have made it, not that the vast majority of lawyers have made the law complex, but, you know, that's the responsibility of the government. The government's done it, and I think that a lot of laws are made complex and nebulous, you know, because that's the interest of the government, to make things as confusing as can be.
Yeah, well, it allows them to misrepresent things to the confused, and the confused aren't able to counter it.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's easier for them, you know, with a confusing set of laws or an ambiguous set of laws, it's easy for a government agency then to throw its weight around and say, hey, do as I say rather than what the law says. And that's a big problem. But, you know, a lot of these arguments get concocted, you know, by people sitting around and, maybe they're on some type of coffee high or something like that and decide that, hey, I'm going to invent some theories. Let me give an example of one. And this relates to that UCC argument. But before I do that, Tommy, I need to ask you some questions.
All right.
Okay, now you're a lawyer. Okay, did you get your check from the Queen of England?
Doggone it. Apparently, you see, I know what happened. I've got a theory on that.
Okay.
I was stationed at Fort Harrison, Indiana, when I was sworn in, and I had to catch a plane down to New Orleans to the Supreme Court. And my plane was held up for mechanical problems, and I was late arriving. AG sent a limo over to the airport, and they rushed me over to the Supreme Court building as quickly as they could, but the swearing-in ceremonies were already over. So I was taken up to Justice Summers' chambers, and he personally swore me in. And what happened was I missed taking the oath to the Queen of England. And because I missed taking that secret oath, I haven't gotten any checks.
No, okay. Do you know of any lawyer that's ever been paid by the Queen of England?
No.
Okay. Well, neither do I, and neither have I. However,
incidentally, just in case anybody misunderstood that I was being a bit facetious, I was being honest about what happened on my swearing in day, but I was being facetious about having missed this.
Yes. Well, have you ever heard of this proposition that this floated through the movement? All the lawyers know that you cannot cite a case that predates 1938. You understand that, and you abide by that rule, and you don't cite any cases that predate 1938. Is that right?
No. Not me. I've been violating that rule.
Okay, so you cite cases that predate 1938.
You bet I do, and I'll tell you a good reason, too, because the cases before 1938 were a lot smarter than the ones after the Supreme Court's plaque was broken in 1936.
Yes, okay. Now,
that's another subject, but maybe we'll talk about that one day.
Yeah, packing the court for Roosevelt? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Who broke their back, and they haven't been the same since.
Yeah, that's for sure. They bought into all the socialistic legislation. There was a shift during that period of time.
That was when the Constitution lost its last ally on the Hill.
Well, getting back to how these arguments developed, this UCC argument comes about based on facts that are just absolutely untrue. You know, the Uniform Commercial Code argument has its origin in basically this set of historical facts, that the international bankers took over, as a matter of law, took over the whole U.S. legal system in 1933.
Yeah.
And, you understand that aspect of the argument, right?
I finally ran across that, and it's absolutely insane.
Okay. But then their bankers use commercial law, and the Uniform Commercial Code is commercial law.
Yep.
So, you know, Tommy, did you realize that when you have you've done plaintiff's work, have you not?
Well, yeah, I've done plaintiff's work, but we're going into a plaintiff's
claim. Okay.
So let's pick up on this, and we've got a call waiting to catch when we get right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Here we go again. This is Tom Cryer. You're in the Live Free Zone, and we have Larry B. Craft with us today. And Larry, you were just making a point, and I want to wrap up a little bit on that, and then we're going to jump to the phones, if that's okay, in a minute.
Yeah, well, okay, the point of the reduced to its simplistic,
yeah.
This is the point that I want to make, that the less informed you are, the less information, less knowledge that you have about a particular topic, the easier it is for you to fall for anything. And, you know,
you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and so as a result, you know, if you don't check things out, you know, you'll buy anything, and that's been a problem with this movement. You know, I understand there's a lot of people that in the movement, they want to see something done with the tyranny that's being thrust out of the throat by the government. However, you know, when you go out and just, you know, shop around for what looks good and what sounds good and what you think feels good without checking out any information regarding that particular topic, you can end up in a world of hurt. And, you know, right now I've got cases that where that's exactly the situation involving my clients. They went out and just got involved with something. Now they're in the world of hurt.
Yeah.
And that's got to stop. You know, we got to stop passing out, you know, the playing Russian roulette in this movement. You know, These people are passing out these explosive vests, you know, that are being sold as a protective vest, and they're saying going to court and this vest will help you, but instead it blows up on you.
Yeah, well, I call it a tinfoil hat of invincibility. You know, wear this tinfoil hat and you'll become invincible. And all that does is help the beast find you in the cave because you're twinkling at him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the one thing I wanted to ask you about on this, because I know you'll know this. Recently, or just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I got an email from a fellow, a fairly bright fellow, corresponded with him before. He's in trouble. Right now he's going through a civil process with the IRS. He has attorneys handling his case for him. But meanwhile, there are people that are finding out that he's engaged in litigation with the IRS, and so they are running to his, quote, rescue with these notions and telling him, and he's forwarded one to me. And for $500, they will detax him by simply, you know, making a notice and a constructive notice and that this is proven. But one of the comments that they made to him was that they have documents and they've shown him documents that proved that they have beaten the IRS back and forced the IRS to acknowledge that a guy was not within the taxing authority and walk away and leave him alone. Now, I've never known of anything like that to happen.
No, I don't either, and I'd like to see it. But, you know, let me just tell you,
Where does this kind of stuff come from?
Well, let me just tell you, I have actually seen... Hey, let me just tell you this. I had a conspiracy case. Jack and I had a conspiracy case up in Cincinnati. And it was based upon Phil Marsh. Now, you probably don't know anything about Phil Marsh, but Phil Marsh, back in about 1990, got rolling. He had the Pilot Connection Society. And, you know, I've seen some of these letters. In fact, you know, some of the people that were on my program this morning have received the letters from the IRS. So you can get, you know, there are legitimate letters from the IRS that, you know, kind of make some amazing statements. But what Phil Marsh did, and this is what I learned through this conspiracy case, because we actually asked, as part of our discovery in this criminal case, hey, Judge, you know, tell the government to turn over to us the exhibits that they used in the Phil Marsh case. Well, what Phil Marsh was doing is he was taking, you know, letterhead from the IRS. He'd cut it out, and he'd paste it on some sheet of paper that had this, you know, he would type in the body himself.
Right.
And he doctored an IRS letter to make it, you know, to assert whatever he wanted it to say. And then, you know, they would say, well, we got this for on your behalf. You know, look at this amazing letter we got for you from the IRS. And, you know, it was all a fabrication. You know, I have seen people actually fabricate documents. There's come up again. Al Carter was a promoter in this movement. And Al Carter made the argument, you know, said, look, I found this amazing document from the IRS. Well, this amazing document that talks about, you know, wages and not income and stuff like that. That was what was the subject of this treatise that he claimed came from the IRS. Hey, it was all an invention of Al Carter. So, the, you know, Phil Marsh is an example. Al Carter is an example. There's a lot of other examples of people involved in this movement that will fabricate documents.
So just because somebody comes up with so-called documents that says that, hey, this works, you don't need that, Elmer. I told the fellow, I said, you know, they're trying to sell you a baby Ruth, you know, it may be shaped like a baby Ruth. It may be colored like a baby Ruth. It may look like one, but they found it in the grass out in the backyard. You know, don't eat that, Elmer. Now, let's go to the phones and see what folks are have on their mind here regarding hopefully this issue. Let's start with Kamal. Am I pronouncing that right? In New York.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and what's your question, Kamal?
Well, I just want to comment about I want to congratulate both of you folks for talking about this particular issue. I mean, I've been in the movement for about 6 or 7 years. I'm fairly a new student myself.
Well, I've been exchanging email with you for longer than what you just said.
Yeah, pretty much. But Larry's been, to my understanding, Larry's been fighting this I don't know what you want to call it, but this fiction within the movement for quite some time now. And unfortunately, I must say the truth that, you know, it's just getting worse. You go to these seminars, you go to, let's say, you know, freedom pep rallies and stuff, and you try to associate with these people through reason, through court cases, you know, and they just it's just amazing of how I don't know if it's brainwashing, I don't know if it's anything else, but it's just, in my opinion, it's just getting worse and worse. I mean, just the other day, I was talking to a fellow who said that the you know, court cases do not matter. You cannot cite court cases. Only attorneys can do that. Then I said, okay, well, what can you cite? He says, oh, you can only cite the Constitution. Okay, so what about Article 4, where it talks about full faith and credit that shall be given to all public records? And he just sat there just looking at me. He's like, what are you talking about? Now, these people don't even the Constitution. That's how bad it is out there.
Yeah, well, people know more about their auto liability policy than they do their Constitution, and that needs to change. But you are right. It's very difficult because many of these folks are very emotional about these things. And, of course, as an attorney, I can't afford to be emotional. I have to be objective. Even though I'm a trial attorney, I did not even think about trying my own case because there was no way I could expect myself to be, you know, objective.
I mean, even going back in Sherry's case, I mean, if you go back, if we rewind back to 2002, even in the tax, truth and taxation hearing, I mean, every one of the speakers there were quite well versed and they understood what they were speaking of. From there, I mean, I don't want to sound pretty, negative, but just by her answers alone, I felt that she was unprepared. The answers that she gave at the truth and taxation hearing, I felt that she was not prepared. And that lack of preparation pretty much reflected in this court case that we just seen. It seems to me that she was just confused. She didn't know what's going on. She didn't know what was going on, and that's that.
Well, you know, can I say something? Sherry, but you know, a lot of people don't understand that she has, you know, a physical problem and that she cannot get to sleep. And here in this trial, you know, it was real difficult for her to get sleep. You know, we'd be preparing for, you know, she'd get up late in the morning, she couldn't get to sleep at night. You know, sleep is a real problem for a lot of people. It seems like I keep seeing more and more people having sleep problems, but you know, Sherry did have a sleep problem. And she's had it for a lot of her adult life, and you know, it was worse during the course of this trial too.
Yeah, well, I would imagine it would be. And but you know, on that, you know, when you look at the cases that are successful, where you have either an acquittal or a hung jury, when a defense is successful, one of the common denominators on those cases is the degree of preparation and the degree of ability. Not just, you know, somebody can really work their butt off, but if they're just not able to articulate their beliefs, explain them, and then stand their ground. Some people don't have the stomach to get up there and do that. And bless their hearts, they're just not qualified for that type of combat. That's why I keep telling people, unless you are prepared and able to do battle with the beast, don't go in a cave. And we're trying to get as many of them out of the cave before they get discovered and brutalized. But you're right, Kamal, in that the degree of preparation we're learning is a major component in a successful defense. And that preparation is not limited to effort. People can really try and still not be equipped with the skills.
I also understand that the solution to the problem is education. The problem to that problem is that there is no education. In other words, people are not giving the effort into reading the case laws, reading the regulations, reading all these government documents that they should be relying upon to sustain their conclusions, and that's why they're falling. That's why they're falling.
Yeah, you're right. It's easier if somebody just says, hey, just fill out these forms and you're done. And the sad part about this thing is, and I guess this is one of the things that makes me really angry about this, most con games are based on some ulterior motive of the victim. They usually are based on some promise to a victim that he will get something for nothing for participating in this whatever scam is set up, pigeon drop, what have you.
Hey, Kamal, what?
Not this one. Not this one. These cons are based on the motivation being admirable, wanting to stop a theft, wanting to stop the beast. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, what type of arguments do you see promoted out there that, you know, follows the classification of being frivolous?
Well, the UCC, the straw man argument is a big one. I've also heard of the British Accredited Registry, which you two are members of. But the biggest one was particularly, you know, denigrating the legal industry and how all lawyers are, every single lawyer out there is just a thief. They just, you know, certain, I mean, there's a whole lot of them. There's a whole lot of them.
Well, you have to get rid of the
position
lawyers
where
because the lawyers can tell people that that's snake oil. You see, that's why you have to discredit the lawyers, because the lawyers are the source of the information. You were talking about education. If somebody knows something, then they can't be deceived. Larry was talking about that earlier, too. But since lawyers would be the source of that knowledge to find out that this stuff that they're selling is a bunch of not baby Ruths, then you know, they have to eliminate the lawyers from the community in order to preserve their myths and their phony packages that they're trying to sell. That's the motivation.
One big issue is that, you know, people like to talk about the right to travel a lot these days. Citizens got the right to travel here, right to travel there, and the government has no authority to police the people on these particular issues. Now, what's so interesting, as you folks both know, that the word travel is not even mentioned in the Constitution. We know that it's implied through the Fifth Amendment, according to the case of Kent versus Lewis, where it was held that the right to travel is part of the liberty of, you know, of due process.
The Crandall case back during the Civil War era also talked about that. You know, that's a Supreme Court case where you had here's the facts. You know, I think it was Arizona charged a fee for just people traveling by rail through the state. And the Supreme Court said, hey, you got a right to travel, and that can't be taxed. Well, you know, there's a lot of cases on the point about right to travel. I think I've got posted over on my website when you print it out, just a whole string sites, one case right after another. You know, I've got about 4 or 5 pages. It's got to be at least 200 cases that are cited there. There's a lot of cases on the right to travel, but on the right to travel, you know, a lot of people want to fight over the driver's license issue. You know, what I find is a lot of people aren't even really conversant with the cases on right to travel, and they're even less conversant on the procedures in court about how to raise it.
Yeah, but what's so interesting, Larry, is that when you talk to these folks in the Patriot Movement saying that, hey, yeah, we have a right to travel, and say, yeah, that's the Supreme Court says that. Yeah, the Supreme Court says that we have a right to travel. But when you cite something that's in their favor, they'll jump up and down. You cite something against their beliefs, for instance, any frivolous arguments that may exist out there, then they say, oh, case law is bad.
Yeah, they'll take the good, but... You know, they're not going to take something that they don't want. You can't use case law. You can only use the case law that we want you to use. Well,
right.
You're running into the same problem on the other side, because whenever you start citing case law that disagrees with the government's position, they're saying, oh, you can't use that case law. They just ignore it.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of a sandwich here. We got the truth, and it's being attacked by both sides. It's being attacked by the IRS, and it's being attacked by the Tinfoil Hat Brigade. And I cannot help but believe that many of these notions originated in an Internal Revenue Service office somewhere with a guy sitting there with his feet up on his desk, and they're laughing their butts off, and they introduce it, and then they sit back and watch it just go. Because people are so anxious. When people learn the truth, they are anxious. They have a craving. I know, because I know what I felt like when I learned the truth. They have a craving, a need to do something about it, to not just sit back and let it continue. I mean, it's just like when I said earlier about when, you know, it's a beautiful baby, but when the dog is gnawing the baby's toes off, you can't just sit there and watch it happen. And so whatever these people are craving, a way to fight the beast and stop it from stealing from everyone, and so they want to believe, and it's easy to convince somebody who wants to believe that he can do something. And the fact is, we all can do something, but none of us can. And we're all helpless, but all of us together can do it. And it doesn't require the degree of education you were talking. It just merely requires that we inform and educate the people that this is an issue, that there's a genuine issue about this. So that when they do get into a courtroom and they realize, you know, the government might be lying about that, and that jury will then give the man a fair trial. Because they're not going in there with a predisposed notion that the guy is wrong because it's different from what they believed all their lives.
Yeah.
And everybody knows the earth is flat. I mean, and when somebody comes up and says otherwise, they're not going to believe the guy's really serious about believing that. Well, look, we're going into a break, Kamala. Thanks for the call. Very good points. And we'll come back and we'll pick back up with the phones and catch up with those callers right here.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Welcome back. We are rapidly approaching the top of the first hour. And we just heard from Kevin Hall in New York. A couple of points there. Before we take the next caller, though, because I don't think we have time to do him justice, Larry, where the heck did the straw man come from?
Well, it started off back about 1993 when there was an organization from Ohio that started talking about nom de guerre. And from that, there flew the proposition, well, you know, if your name is in caps, you know, that's, they got you. Okay, hey, Tommy, let me, you know, do the break. I've been thinking about this.
Well, you just jumped about four mountains and three rivers. You went from A to L to Q to Z.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that how they do this? They just decide to skip letters and connect the dots at will?
Yeah, because it's an interesting story. Now, let me ask you this, Tommy. Would it be fair to say that for every felony prosecuted in America in the last 100 years, that there were two things that were critically important for every felony prosecution? Number one, there was a clerk's file, and number two, all the paper that was used in these cases was either square or rectangular. Isn't that right?
Well, that's very suspicious now that you mention it. I never really thought about that before.
Yeah, there's a clerk's file, and the paper is square.
Is that why we always refer to the four corners of a document or a pleading?
Yes. Yeah, but
now I'm beginning to understand.
Okay, but hey, the solution, Tommy, is we can win if we start using round paper.
Well, that... they wouldn't know how to react to round paper, would they?
That's true. But hey, that's the quality of some of these arguments. And, you know, names and caps issue, you know, I guess it has a popular appeal. You know, if you get somebody up that in front of a crowd that's good on his feet, is an entertaining speaker, he can weave all sorts of kind of fancy tales and he can make people convinced that don't know any better.
Well,
that,
you know,
it is because your name is in caps on some type of a pleading. That's the reason why they got you. And, you know, once you tell the court, you know, you can't, I'm not that guy. I am, you know, this other guy that doesn't, you know, whose name is spelled in a particular way. Hey, let me give you an example of a case. And this is, you know, I mentioned earlier Jeff and I had this conspiracy case up in Cincinnati. And during the course, that was a 10-week trial. But during the course of that trial, I really got to know the judge's law clerk. You know, we became good friends, you know. You know, we'd work on jury instructions together and evidence questions together. You know, Amy, she was a real nice girl. But one day she came to me, she had the Bradley case, you know, which was also assigned to the same judge. And she knew that I knew a lot about these Patriot issues, so she said, hey, Larry, you know, look at this and tell me what it's about. And it was a name and caps argument. And the Bradleys defended themselves. Now, this is almost 10 years ago. The Bradleys came into court, and they went throughout this whole trial. And they represented themselves pro se, and this was their defense. Well, Mr. IRS agent, now, the Ed Bradley that you're talking about that, is that spelled this way, capital E, capital D, capital B, capital R, capital A, capital D, capital L, capital E, capital Y, or is it E, big E, little D? And that was what they used throughout the whole trial. They got convicted.
Oh.
Now, here we got a break.
Yes, we do. We've got a break coming up, and we're going to come back. We're going to go back to the phones. If you want to join us on the program today, it's 800-313-9443. And we'll be back after this break.